2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 will be our scripture that we're reading this morning for in our Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 will be in verses 14 through 17. Once you've found it, you'll please stand with me. I'll read verses 14 and verse 16 if you'll read with me on verses 15 and 17, the odds there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. I'll start reading there this morning. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that let him glory in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for reading the scripture this morning. Thank you for our Bible. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from the man of God. Lord, we pray that you'd be with preacher, give him the voice, give him the words. So I pray that we'd be attentive to hear and to read and comprehend this morning and then apply that in our lives. Lord, I pray you'd be with the special as well. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
While sleeping one night, Paul had a vision clear of a Macedonian man who was praying with tears. He begged for Paul to tell them of the Savior's story dear. Then Paul obeyed the Spirit with this message in his ears. Come over and help us, was the cry of the lost. We need someone to tell us of salvation and its cost. We need to hear the story of Jesus and the cross. We quietly are asking. Come over and help us. People in the someone who will show them the way to Jesus and to heaven. Just listen to them say, we need a willing servant who will give his life away. Come over and help us, is the cry of the lost. We need someone to tell us of salvation and its cost. We need to hear the story of Jesus and the cross. We quietly are asking.
We quietly are asking.
Come over and help us. The need is growing greater as the time approaches fast. When Jesus and his coming will take you home at last. Come over and help us, is the cry of the lost. They need someone to tell them of salvation and its cost. They need to hear the story of Jesus and the cross. They quietly are asking.
They quietly are asking.
Come over and help us. Come over and help us.
for that good and timely song this morning. I want to speak on our theme today. You'll find it in verse number 15. The theme for the conference up here on the banner, thanks to Rex and Jackie again, increased faith equals enlarged outreach. You see it in verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure. We'll get into this, explain it in a moment. That is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, for this reason, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Amen? So that's it. Increased faith equals enlarged outreach. And that's the theme of the conference. That's the goal this year. Increased faith, enlarged outreach. Let's pray and ask God's help and blessing on us today. Father, thank you for the fine families we have with us and for the opportunity to spend these days together, for the music that we've heard this morning. All of it's been missions-minded, and for the good song we just heard. And now, Lord, we come to your Bible, your book, which is the most important thing of the whole morning. And I pray that you'll please help me. I want to be the messenger. I want to be used by your grace, by your power, by your Spirit to deliver a message that folks will listen to and hear this morning and that the Holy Spirit may use in our hearts. So I pray to that end, make me just a tool, if you will, like a carpenter would pull out of his pouch. And use me this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. It's a great privilege, and I mean that, for us to have these four new missionary families with us for these few days. We'll enjoy the fellowship being together with them, and we'll be challenged by their presentations. I wish everybody could have seen Brother Peters this morning. Many of our adult classes, all of our adult classes were in here. And then, of course, the other missionaries tonight. Ben will give an update on the work in Madagascar. He's got a brief video about that. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, the other three missionaries will be showing their presentations. Now, the truth is, church, that the reason they are here, let's just be honest about this from the beginning, missionaries come to missions conferences for the purpose of landing financial support. That's why they come. They're not here for their health, okay? Be far healthier for them just to be at home and stay in one place and go to their church and serve there. But this is God's call on their life, and I'm glad that they're here. They're here for prayer aid, and they are here for financial aid. But I will say this. They're also here for us. They're here for us as well. Because, you see, they are here that we might obey our God-given commission to take the gospel to the world. And like I preached last Sunday morning, this is the time to get missions-minded, not when it is too late to do something about it. All right, now, here's the bottom line. We need them, and they need us. Okay, so we're talking about a mutual need here. A mutual need. They're not here just because they need us. They are here because we need them. Okay? It's a mutual need. We need them to help us obey our commission. They need us to help them obey their calling. We need them for our commission. They need us for their calling. Now, you know what that puts us in, folks? That puts us in a win-win situation with these missionary families. If we do what God wants us to do to this conference, we win and they win. We get the gospel to places we've not gotten it before. And they get some more support so that they can do the will of God for their life. That's a win-win situation. If, I guess there's always an if, isn't there? If we can increase our faith. If we can increase our faith to start giving, if we didn't give last year, or to give a little bit more than last year, we can enlarge our outreach. Increase our faith equals enlarged outreach. Increased faith is for their benefit. They get the benefit of financial assistance as they go to preach the gospel in their respective countries. Enlarged outreach, that's for our benefit. We get a voice in Mexico in a place where we don't have one. Brother Shaver's going to a place where there is no independent Baptist missionary. We get a voice in Iraq where we don't have one. We get a voice in Spain where we don't have one. We get a voice in Ireland where we don't have one. That's our benefit. It's a win-win situation, all right? Now, Paul mentioned this theme, the theme of the continent, what we're using here. Paul mentioned this in verse number 15, increased faith and enlarged outreach. Look at it in verse number 15. You see it right there, middle of the verse. He says, when your faith, he's talking about the church he's writing to there, the church at Corinth. When your faith, church at Corinth, Corinthian people, when your faith is increased, okay, that we, he's talking about himself and his partners in the missionary project, we shall be enlarged by you. And you see his ultimate goal in verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. This was one of those win-win situations. Paul was saying, okay, church, if your faith increases, then our outreach can be enlarged, okay? If your faith increases, we get the benefit of your financial assistance, and then we get to enlarge your outreach by going on to the regions beyond. Let me put it this way. I came to Faith Baptist Church at the end of May 1990. My first Sunday was the first Sunday of June 1990 as pastor of this church. When I came here, Faith Baptist Church was already established. There was a group of people here who were already organized into a church, a group of people who were already saved, already baptized, and already somewhat organized to do the work of God. There was property. There were buildings. There were programs. There was influence in the community. The influence of Faith Baptist Church didn't start with Terry Angel. The influence of Faith Baptist Church preceded me by about 20 years, a little short of that. All right, there was influence in the community. There was influence from the people who were here already serving. There was influence from the previous pastors and their leadership. There were four pastors here before I became pastor of Faith Baptist Church. All right, four. Now, I came and God allowed us to restore and rebuild on the foundation that was already here. And many of you have come since that time and been added to the foundation. And hopefully now we have a stronger foundation at Faith Baptist Church than we had in 1990. Hopefully now our influence maybe is more so in the community and around the world. Now, I came in 1990. Paul would not have wanted to come to Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais as the pastor. He wouldn't have wanted to come here. Because Paul always had his sights set on places where the gospel had not already been preached. By the way, I struggled with that a little bit. I struggled with that for a couple of years. I really, in my heart, I wanted to go to a town where there was no gospel influence. I tried to. I tried to go out west where there are great portions of our country out there, city after city after city, where there is no Baptist church preaching the Word of God, getting folks saved. I went up into Canada. I surrendered myself for the mission field. I surrendered myself for the mission field and specifically had conversations with Ron Bragg in Senegal, West Africa, about going there to a place where the gospel had not been preached. There's something about pioneering. Something about going where the gospel's never been. That's what Paul was all about. Paul did not want to go where there had already been a gospel witness. That's what he's talking about in these verses. When you read down through these verses, in verses 13, 14, and so forth, you could almost use the word influence for the word measure. Now, here's what Paul is saying. Let me give you the interpretation and the context, the setting of this passage. Paul is saying, God let me... Paul's influence had stretched all the way to Corinth. God had allowed Paul's influence to go to Corinth. That's where he was, and it had been before he wrote this letter there. Now, Paul did not want to ever take credit for influence in areas where others had preached that he had not been. You know, it would be like me trying to take credit for influence up in Elgin. It'd be like me trying, you know, Brother Gomez trying to take credit for influence down here in Bourbonnais. Paul didn't want to do that. I wouldn't take credit for the influence Northwest has had in Elgin. He wouldn't take credit for the influence that Faith Baptist has had in Bourbonnais. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I didn't want to take credit for any influence where other men have preached the Word of God. But Paul was saying, God allowed me to come to you. God allowed me to come to Corinth. And God allowed me to have some influence over you. I've had some influence over you people. And he did. He started the church in Corinth. I'd call that pretty much influence, wouldn't you? He had good influence there that God had allowed. And now Paul was saying, church at Corinth, God allowed me to come to you and have influence with you. Now, I hope. In fact, that word hope means expect. I expect that when your faith is increased, I will be enlarged to go somewhere where the gospel has not been preached and hopefully have influence with those people. That's what Paul is saying. Paul was not a pastor. Paul was a missionary evangelist. I've been at this church 21 and a half years. Paul never stayed. I'm not sure, I have to do a study on this, but as much as I can tell, Paul never stayed in any one place more than two years max. He started the church and got it going, went somewhere else. Started the church, got it going, went somewhere else. That was his drive. Go where there's not a church. Go where the gospel has not been preached. He said, Corinth, God's power, God's grace allowed me to come to you and have influence with you. And now we're established here, and I'm praying and expecting that when your faith is increased, I'm going to be enlarged and God's going to give me the opportunity to have influence in the regions beyond you. The regions beyond you. Now, some people think that Paul was talking about this church enlarging in their faith, growing stronger, so that Paul wouldn't have to be there taking care of them. Well, Paul wasn't taking care of them when he wrote this letter to them. He'd already turned that church over to somebody else. He'd already gone on other places. He was not writing from Corinth. He was writing from somewhere else. Paul is talking about financial assistance. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, this whole context is here in this passage, is about money. He's saying, I'm praying and trusting that God is going to increase your faith to give enough so that I can be enlarged to take the gospel to places where it hasn't been preached. That's why we have a mission conference, folks. It's about enlarging our outreach. Because, look, we have. I was thinking about this morning when I was reading through this notes. What if we had been the original church? What if we were the original church? Do you know what I was thinking this morning? You know, we would need to raise money to send the gospel around the world. But I want to tell you something else. We need to raise is people. That's what the church of Jerusalem was told to do. And it wasn't good enough just to send money. They had to send people. And our church needs to send people. And once in a while, God reaches down and pulls a missionary, pulls a person out of the pew of Faith Baptist Church and sends them off as a missionary. And I hope that he'll continue to do that. But in the meantime, we're not going to sit around. These guys are going places where we don't have a gospel witness and we can get involved in supporting them. We can enlarge our outreach. That's why we have this conference. To enlarge our outreach. Because that's our commission. That's our calling. You see, we can't say, yeah, okay, us along with all the other churches in the world, we're going to get the gospel to the world. No, we have to take it personally. We have to take it as a part of our commission right here at Faith Baptist Church to get the gospel to the world. These folks help us. They will enlarge our outreach if we can increase our faith. If we can increase our faith. If we can increase our faith a little bit, then we can enlarge our outreach. And we can send them to places like Iraq, Ireland, Mexico, and Spain. Now, so the question this morning for the message is this. That's the context of the whole passage here. Increased faith equals enlarged outreach. It was going on in the first century New Testament churches. It was going on in Paul's day. It's still going on today. The work of God has not changed. The plan of God has not changed. Churches need to increase their faith. And if they'll increase their faith, they'll enlarge their outreach. So the question is, how do we increase our faith? How do we increase our faith? Brother Joe, you're going to have to tell the brother, whoever's in the Spanish department this morning, that the PA's too loud. I can hear it all the way down here. Can you all hear it? Do you understand Spanish, Brother Gubbins? You're getting a good lesson in it this morning, all right? They got the PA too loud today. How do we increase faith? All right, I got a good thing for you. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to find out there's a direct statement from the disciples, from the apostles, to Jesus Christ that involves the increase of faith. And Luke chapter 17 and verse number 5. How do we at Faith Baptist Church increase our faith so that we can enlarge our outreach? So that this is a win-win situation. It's a win for the missionary and it's a win for us. Okay, how do we do this? Look at verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that what we're wanting to do? Increase our faith. All right, now, how do you increase your faith? Number one, we need to ask for increased faith. Ask for increased faith. In chapter 17, verse number 5, the apostles simply said to Jesus, increase our faith. Now listen up here. Jesus had just taught them to forgive a brother who had sinned against them, and if necessary, do it 7 times in one day. If a brother sins against you 7 times in one day, and he comes 7 different times and says, forgive me, 7 different times you're supposed to say, you're forgiven. Now, the disciples, this seemed very hard to them. It seemed very difficult. So they simply said to Jesus, increase our faith. I think they were saying, this sounds hard. This sounds difficult. You know, the truth of the matter is, friend, it is difficult. It is against our nature to forgive someone, especially if they sin against us multiple times or they sin against us often. And if we are to do this, they were saying, Jesus, you're going to have to increase our faith. Now, I'm not preaching on forgiveness this morning, but I want you to see that when we get challenged to do something that is not easy or natural for us to do, the first way to increase our faith is to simply ask for it. I need help. Folks, faith is not just what something that you and I have stored in our minds. Faith is our belief in action. And when Jesus told those disciples to forgive those guys 7 times in one day if necessary, they're thinking, okay, how am I going to put this into action? And you know what they're thinking? This is not easy. And so in order to accomplish this, Lord, I need you. We need you to increase our faith. Now look, I know what I'm up against this morning. I know what I'm up against. When I ask the people of Faith Baptist Church to consider a small increase in missions giving, I understand what I'm up against. I realize I'm asking for something that is not easy or natural to do. There's probably some folks here this morning, you've not given to Faith Promise Missions. And you know what? If you're new here, I'm not asking you to get started. If you came to our church the first time last week or last month, I'm just telling you, just listen to me this morning with patience. I'm not trying to get into your purse or your pocketbook or your wallet. That's not what I'm all about. But I can't let the world die and go to hell without trying to do something to send these missionaries to these places. So I know what I'm up against. And when you ask people to either start giving to Faith Promise Missions or maybe increase from what they gave last year by a small amount, you're asking something that is not natural or easy to do. Most of the people in this world don't walk around looking for a place to just give away money. Most folks are living in this world looking for a way to what? Get money. So what I'm asking God's people to do is going against the grain. Something that's not natural. Something that in this day and age may not be easy. Folks, it may not be natural, but it is necessary if we want to enlarge our outreach. If we at Faith Baptist Church use these, this has nothing to do with numbers. We don't belabor you. People ask me all the time, how many missionaries you support? You know what my answer, honest answer is? I don't know. And I don't. And if you want to go down the hallway and count all the boards, you'll get a pretty good idea. But I just haven't found the time to go, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm not against that. I don't know. I know how much money came through here last year for missions. And I know that we have a bunch of missionaries and mission projects. I'm not trying to belabor you with being the best, the biggest, the brightest. I'm not about that. But I am saying that if we're going to enlarge our outreach, we got to increase our faith. And if we're going to increase our faith, we're going to have to ask for it. We're going to have to ask God to help us. Increase our faith, Lord. We need to get the gospel to Mexico, where Brother Shaver is going. We need to get the gospel to Iraq, where Brother Trail is going. We need to get the gospel to Spain, where Brother Peters is going. And to Ireland, where Brother Tharp is going. And we'll have other missionaries come through this year. And some on the waiting list now. Lord, we need to get the gospel to these places. And to do that, we're going to have to increase our faith. So will you help us increase our faith? Now, wait a minute. This would not be praying for more money so I could give more money. This might be starting by saying, Lord, what do you want me to give out of what I already have? Say, I don't have much. That's all right. Little as much when God is in it. Sometimes we get the idea, I've said before. You know, people down through the years, once in a while, somebody will come by and they'll say, Pastor, if I had $50,000, you know what I would do with it? I'd buy the church all brand new something. I'd buy the church some brand new buses. A fellow did that somewhere out east, over in Indiana. I think it may have been Brother Bachman's church, old church over there. They bought him. He said, I want to buy 4 brand new buses. Gave $200,000. Because a brand new bus is about $50,000 a piece. Somebody said, if I had, you know, it's very easy to talk about what we would do with something that we don't have. You say, I don't believe that. Yes, you do. Because young married couples with no children say, if I had children, until they have them. If I had $50,000, let me tell you, can I tell you this morning that God is not near as concerned about the $50,000 you don't have as He is the $25,000 you do have? And we can talk about what we would do until it gets down to what we can do with what we got. God increased my faith. Ask God for increased faith. People, do you think that all of a sudden, just because we've had an economic downturn, I guess we've had an economic downturn. I'll tell you what, by looks at the restaurant parking lots and other places, I don't know if we've had an economic downturn or not. The world of finance is not my world. I don't know. But do you think if a country goes into economic downturn, that all of a sudden the parts of the Bible that God talks about giving so that folks can take the gospel to other places just become irrelevant? And so, Pastor, you can't preach that now because did you see what the economy did last year? I think I have a relevant Bible that's here for all time. I think what God wants us to do is start asking, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. So if we're going to enlarge our outreach, we've got to increase our faith. And if we're going to increase our faith, we've got to ask for increased faith, number one. Number two, we've got to act with increased faith. Act with it. Now, in this case, in Luke 17, Jesus had told them to exercise forgiveness over and over again. And they replied, increase our faith. Now, let me ask you a question. If they asked for increased faith, then what should they do? Well, when somebody comes to them asking for forgiveness, they probably should what? Forgive. They should act on the faith that they've asked for. In other words, when I ask God to increase my faith, I should expect Him to do it and be ready to obey and act on the increased faith. Now, what that means for us today, all right? God says, send or take the gospel to the world. And you and I sit back and we say, boy, it seems really difficult either to start giving to missions or to add a little bit to my missions giving. So God, help me increase my faith. And then I say, okay, God, all right, I know what God said to do. I have asked Him for increased faith. Now I must act. I must expect Him to help me as I step out on His word and attempt to increase my faith. Some need to increase their faith by asking God and then acting on it by giving $12.50 a week. You know what that does? That supports one missionary family on the field. That supports, if somebody increased their, if somebody started right now giving $12.50 a week to the missions program, you could support the Shaver family. $50 a month. Or the Trail family. All it takes is $12.50 a week. Somebody else who's been giving might just say, okay, Lord, increase my faith, and then act on it by giving $6.25 more. $6.25. That's one less trip through McDonald's. In some cases. And I'm not trying to get you from going to, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on, if you drink Starbucks, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm telling you, community's a lot cheaper and a lot better. I'm not trying to put, if you like Starbucks, God bless you. Don't complain about the price of gas. I'm not against Starbucks. But I'm just saying, $6.25 will put a half of a missionary family on the field. You see, folks, because here, listen, faith is not some spooky feeling. Okay, God increased my faith. And then we stand and wait around for something to start in our toes. And work its way up through our whole body until I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. And get the fork out of the toaster, you'll quit feeling it. Faith is not some spooky feeling. Faith is obedience in action. And you could take that on from $6.25 down to $3.10 a week. Whatever it is. Look, you know, if I'm going to pray, God, increase my faith, then I'm going to, if I'm going to ask for it, then I should act on it. I should act on it. Because I don't think I'm going to ask God to increase my faith and then sit back and expect Him not to do it. So I have to say, well, that's easy. The best thing to do is just don't start asking God for increased faith. Yeah, but then you miss out on all the blessings. You miss out on tons of blessings. Ah, God has a way of blessing. And I'm not going to tell you this morning, I wouldn't do it, stand up here and tell you that by giving to missions, you're going to get rich. But I can tell you on the authority of God's word that what you give to missions, God is going to give back. And I proved that in a Bible study years ago. Got a book written on it in my office. Yes, sir. You miss out on the blessings. So if I start asking God for increased faith, the next step is to act on increased faith. I will say this morning, number three, and I'll be done. A small measure of faith goes a long way. Look at verse number six. Look what the Lord said. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I'm not going to go into this morning all the interpretation of that verse and what Jesus is teaching there. But what he's saying is, faith, the grain of a mustard seed, will bring great results. And I'm telling you, friend, that a small increase in faith, no matter how minute it is, we'll have great results. Sometimes we get the mentality that because we can't do the big thing, it's not any good to do the small thing. Let me put it to you in black and white. I read all the missionary letters from those that are coming that come from those families on those boards out there. Now we get missionary letters from folks that we don't support. I don't have time to read those. But I read the letters of all those folks that we support. Not a week goes by that one of those missionaries says in that letter, one of their letters, we've lost support. We've lost support. They open up their mail and they see where a church had to cut them 25% or 50% or more. Ben's been at the house since Friday. He opened his mail that came here. He opened his mail yesterday, an envelope. He said, well, there's another one. Now, he's not hurting for support. God's been good to Ben. But another church had to cut their support. So let's say there's a missionary family on the field, and they have enough support, but just enough. And they're making it. They're paying their bills. They're putting some money into the work. They're getting gospel tracts, maybe on the radio. And they get a letter from a church saying, we've got to cut you 50%. We support you $50 a month, and we're taking all of our missions giving and cutting it in half. So we're going to support you $25 a month now. Now that may not seem like a lot. But if they've got 70 churches supporting them, and a lot of those churches have to do that, it's going to add up after a while. So they open an envelope, and they read where a church had to cut them 50%, and now their support has dropped $25 a month. They open another envelope, and this one says, our recent missions conference resulted in increased giving. We're able to add $25 a month to your support. So somebody back in the USA asked for increased faith to give $6.25 a week, which seems like so little. And yet it kept that missionary family on that field without having to plan an early furlough to come back and raise the lost support. That's what I'm telling you, friend. You can't get in your mind that a little won't help. A little bit of faith, a little bit of increase can go a long way with God. Somebody said years ago, money doesn't go far these days. It does when you give to missions. It does. So I'm asking you this morning, church, we have an opportunity before us to enlarge our outreach. We have four missionary families going where we have no missionary. If we're going to enlarge our outreach, we've got to increase our faith. We've got to ask God for it and then act on it. Now, if you ask God for increased faith, act on it. If it's a dollar a week, act on it. If it's $6 a week, act on it. If it's $12 a week, act on it. No matter what it is, act on it. And a small amount, we are in our budget. We are ready to increase 16 missionaries $25 a month because we've supported them for 10 years. At the 10-year mark, we boost them to $75 a month. That's not 16 times 25. I didn't do the math this morning. But that's in our goal to do. Take on these four new families and raise 16 families $25 a month. If we're going to enlarge our outreach and help those families, we're going to have to increase our faith. I believe it's doable. I really do. I believe it's doable if each of us will just ask God and then act on it and then watch God be true to His Word. Ask God for the increase. Act upon it, and watch that increase go a long, long way for the cause of Christ when it comes to missions. I would love to see our church enlarge our outreach. I have nobody to report to. I have no book to put that in. We have no publication to send that to. But there are people all over this world, 7 billion, who never heard. And we have an opportunity to send a person with the message of Christ to them. Some of them. I'd love to see us enlarge our outreach. But we're going to have to increase our faith. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your book. This Bible is an unending well of living water. Challenges us, motivates us. Lord, I pray that we will receive it this morning into our hearts and God be ready to ask and act as you lead us to. Lord, nobody needs to be on a guilt trip. They're in a situation where it's completely and utterly impossible. You know that. But Lord, in cases, and there are many in this room where you've been very good this past year, and a lot of folks are better off financially than they were a year ago even. And God, I pray that you'll help us to increase our faith and enlarge our outreach. In Jesus' name.